Hi everybody, welcome to another edition of Storage Unpacked. It's a bit of a special edition today, rather than myself, Gavin, and Chris and Martin rambling about the state of the industry. We decided to get a couple of guests on to talk about something in particular. So we have Rose Ross from Tech Trailblazers. Those of you that are familiar with what we've been working on and some of the work that Tech Trailblazers have done have known that there are great awards for up-and-coming IT vendors across a whole range, not just the storage industry, although obviously we are focused on storage. So Rose is on here going to talk a little bit about what Tech Trailblazers is and where it fits, but we've also decided to bring on one of the judges for Tech Trailblazers to talk about what they see as real advantages for some of the vendors that are up-and-coming in the industry. And we wanted to bring on a real mild-mannered character that some of you may know from the industry. He doesn't really like to talk very loudly, so we've had to encourage him to come on. And it's a guy called John Twigo, who I'm sure many of you know. So hello, Rose.
Hi, Gavin, and hi, listeners.
And hello, John.
Hello, Mr. McLaughlin. Nice to hear your voice.
It's so wonderful, isn't it? So let's kick off with a little bit about what Tech Trailblazers is. So, Rose, for those who don't know what it's all about, what is it? How long has it been running? Tell us all about Tech Trailblazers and why it's so wonderful.
Sure. So the Tech Trailblazers Awards is focused on up-and-coming organisations in the enterprise tech space, so I guess we'd call them startups as the moniker for that. And our criteria for that are that they are 5 years and younger and haven't gone beyond Series C VC funding. So that's our criteria, and we cover things from IoT, fintech, security, and obviously storage is a big part of that. It is a very popular category, and we've had some amazing winners over the years. So it started in 2012, so we're just in the closure of the sixth edition of entries. And then obviously my esteemed colleague, John, and others, other great luminaries from the industries, will be looking through the applications and deciding who should be shortlisted. And then we take it back to the judges. They make their virtual $1 million investments, and we also throw it open to a public vote.
Wonderful.
So that's that in a nutshell.
So how much is it? You said it's been running for quite a few number of years, which is good to hear. How much has it changed as you know, obviously the industry's changed a bit in that period, but has the awards changed at all?
Well, it's always been virtual, and I think that was probably one of the things which was unusual about it. Most are associated with an event, you know, awards dinner, black tie, that type of thing.
What? But you mean there's no alcohol global involved? What?
Well, I'm sure there is alcohol involved, usually towards the end of when people are submitting their application forms and going, "Ooh, must get this done by Tuesday." Certainly from that perspective, at the moment, there is talk on and off, and I wouldn't rule it out in the future. But at the moment, it continues to be a virtual initiative. We've had great support over the years from industry associations such as the SNIA and the Cloud Security Alliance and other luminaries, you know, who've been involved. And obviously Martin and Chris have both been involved with the awards as well as judges. So, yeah, it's going really well. But in format, it's not changed greatly, but it has obviously built, I wouldn't say necessarily a fan base, but obviously, we have more and more applicants from the startup community. People move on, and we've seen some great successes from some of our winners as well.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, it's got a good reputation, and the fact that it's been going for so long gives it a lot of credibility. But also judges. You've got a lot of judges, haven't you? Roughly how many are there?
Approximately 40, but we also have quite a few categories. So we like to spread the load somewhat, because obviously everybody's volunteering their time very generously. So I think you have to be respectful of that as well.
Okay, so in terms of storage, because we are Storage Unpacked, how many categories are there that affect storage? Is it split into software and hardware, or is it just, you know, one storage lump that you have?
So from a storage perspective, storage vendors, startups in that space, will go forward for the storage trailblazers. So it looks at all aspects of it, so whether it's software or hardware or a combination of the two. But a number of them will go into other categories as well. So they may well enter into the security trailblazers. They may have a big data play. A lot of them have virtualization as, you know, an angle for themselves. So that's one element. They also may well put forward individuals in their senior management for the female or male Tech Trailblazer of the Year, which is a new category we launched last year. And in addition to that, if they're very new entrants, very new storage kids on the block, they may well go forward to the Firestarter category, which is for those that have not received VC funding and that are 2 years or younger.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's good. So, John, you're one of the judges. Obviously, you know the storage industry inside out. What is it you're looking for when, you know, Rose brings you these entries?
Well, first off, let me say that I joined Rose in this effort when the first year that you did it, Rose. You reached out to me, and we decided to do it mainly because at the time, most of the trade press publications, whether they're online or in print, were publishing marketecture rather than architecture. You know, they weren't really looking at what problem the technology was seeking to solve. They were just kind of picking up the vendor's marketing BS and repackaging it and making articles out of it and giving people product of the year without knowing what the product does or what it's supposed to accomplish. And I was kind of tired of seeing press releases refashioned as articles and editorial inside, trade press pub. So when Rose came to me, I said, can we do this so that it isn't about marketecture, it's about architecture? I am pretty intensely focused when she gives the list of Trailblazer candidates that we're considering. I look very closely at, number one, what is the problem you're trying to solve? Number two, what is the business value case for the solution you came up with in terms of how is it going to contain cost, how is it going to reduce risk, and how is it going to improve productivity overall? And if a company doesn't have a good story to tell in all three of those categories, the chances are that consumers aren't going to buy their stuff at all. So I want a company that has a reasonable chance of being practically successful, as well as having a genuine kind of technology to offer, maybe something that rings true from a computer science standpoint, to resolve a knotty technical issue. And a few years ago, all of the storage candidates we were seeing were guys who were trying to transition your storage to a cloud. And that's all well and fine, and cloud is certainly a service delivery model. It's not a new kind of storage. It's the same storage everybody else is using. It's just a data center operated by somebody else. So if you're looking for an outsourcing solution, cloud may be part of the solution. I don't know. So I wasn't dissing cloud, but I wanted something that was more on storage and less just on a service delivery model, if that makes sense. And then later on, we had the advent of what everybody who's young in this industry said was the next big thing in storage, which was software-defined storage. Software-defined storage was done by IBM on mainframes back in 93, okay, with system-managed storage. So there was nothing new about software-defined storage, but it was packaged as something completely revolutionary, new, and different, okay? And what we've ended up with are silos of technology that are hard to manage coherently across the enterprise, and we're losing a lot of capacity and resource to the inefficiencies of siloing the storage. So this year, as I look over the candidates that Rose is having apply to be considered under the Trailblazer Award, I'm looking for folks who have more of an enterprise feel to the solution that they're providing. I want to know how they're going to lock arms, how they're going to work in a heterogeneous environment, how are they going to be commonly manageable. And then the other thing that I'm really keen on right now, because I think it's the killer app in storage, is data management. I think the amount of data we're producing, you know, which I call the zettabyte apocalypse, is outstripping by great volumes the amount of capacity that we have now deployed or could possibly manufacture for the next few years. So, you know, IDC is saying somewhere between 60 and 160 zettabytes by 2025, and the disk industry is maxed out at about 780 exabytes of capacity a year, and the flash industry about 500 exabytes a year. So what we're ending up with is less than 2% of the capacity growth we've got is capable of being handled by the amount of capacity we're able to manufacture and deploy, at least in those random access media. Now, tape is enjoying a big renaissance. So when I look at, you know, the players out there right now, I'm kind of hoping that companies like Strongbox Data Solutions or Primary Data or maybe even QStar Technologies jump on Rose's Trailblazer. Each one has new products, new architectures, new, they're, even if they're not young companies in some cases, they are coming back out with fresh ideas at this point. And they're going to help us try to manage all the bits so we can make the best use of the capacity we've got. That's a practical issue. It's a cost issue. It's going to resonate with the front office, whoever gets their verbiage right. And Rose provides with Trailblazers an optimal opportunity for the, if they listen to what all the judges say, for these companies, whether they're startup or tenured, to put a narrative around their products that will resonate with consumers.
So that's a really good point, and something that I consistently bang on about is stop talking about how your product works and talk about the effect it's going to have on the industry and the effect, more importantly, it's going to have on the end users. Right. Do you think that's getting better? Do you think they're listening? I mean, I've almost personally from a, it's gone cyclical. It's the whole industry went from talking about technology to then talking about solutions and outcomes. Which was pretty good, sort of when we were going through troubled times in sort of the early to mid 2000s. But then we went back on ourselves again, and it's almost as though we were talking about Flash being the answer to life, the universe, and everything. And then, oh, it won't be Flash; it'll be the cloud that saves us. Do you see that's coming back again? Because we've got a huge amount of small software companies again punching through. But I'm starting to see again people talking about the technology and the mechanics of how it works, rather than, you know, how does it help me make money or save money? Do you agree?
Right. Well, it's you know, the old adage, if you can't dazzle them with your debonair, you baffle them with your bullshit. And a lot of these companies have turned to the bullshit model in order to try to advance their stuff. They think that, you know, if the next generation of consumer is a bunch of millennials, they don't know storage from Shinola, you might be able to get away with just giving them a kind of a, I don't know, a bunch of technical rhetoric that makes you sound like you know more than they do.
Yeah.
And that may work for a brief period of time, but at the end of the day, it really comes down to what does all this stuff cost and what's the most efficient way to manage it? And there's nothing new under the sun in terms of any of this technology. So I'm scratching my head. I'm listening to what some of these companies are saying. Some of them have secret agendas that aren't so secret. You know, they're trying to compel you to move to a cloud, or they want you to buy VMware or whatever the hell the underlying agenda is. At the end of the day, though, what we need is a good holistic storage concept, okay, something that doesn't require BS to sell, and that makes a compelling case both for the engineers, the few of them who are left, who are making some of the purchasing decisions, and more importantly, to the front office where people who know nothing about technology live, but they control the purse strings on what's being purchased.
Yes, sir. Thanks for that, John. So, Rose, what's been the impact of Tech Trailblazers on vendors? You know, it's whenever you go and do these sort of things, people say to us, well, what's the impact you've made? And it's always really difficult to measure. But obviously in the tech startup world, you know, looking at funding and looking at the success the company's had, you know, we can't directly necessarily attribute it to Tech Trailblazers. But, you know, how have people come out of TT and what have they seen as results?
Well, the Tech Trailblazers successful winners have been incredibly successful. So if we do look at the track record of the kind of people who've won in the Storage Trailblazers category, we've got people like Smart Storage who were acquired by SanDisk and obviously part of Western Digital now. We've got SolidFire who obviously were acquired by NetApp. We've got Nutanix, not in the storage space, but they actually acquired one of our winners, Pernix Data. And obviously they've gone on to be very successful with their IPO and fundraising prior to that. So you do see that there is a certain caliber and recognition. So anybody who does get that recognition, you know, you're running with the front pack here. So people are very excited. They get very excited about their entries. They get very excited about being shortlisted. And obviously winning is fantastic. But even our runners-up have done extremely well. And we've calculated that the funding that they've all received, you know, as a group is, you know, well in excess of $2 billion, and acquisitions by the likes of Microsoft. Wow. And Dropbox. So it's a hard, you know, anybody who's worked in the startup space knows that it's not an easy path. It can have fantastic rewards, but there's usually an awful lot. As they say, it takes a long time to be an overnight success. So even these big players who seem to have had it somewhat easy, you know, the beginnings would not have been that. So we hope that the Tech Trailblazers has helped build morale, build visibility, and get them the recognition that they deserve, and obviously the valuations that they deserve correspondingly.
Nice. There's some big numbers involved there, so it's definitely worth them doing. How many hoops do they have to jump through to actually apply? Is it quite an onerous process for any vendors that are listening?
The application form is fairly straightforward. Obviously, we know that the PR teams will work very closely with the startup teams to pull the information together. And, you know, as John says, we do encourage people. In fact, we've just had some stuff go out to people today, which I'll put up as a blog post, which just gives some highlights really of what we think people should focus on. You know, don't repeat yourself, make sure you're, you know, as John says, identify the problem you address. How are you helping people do that? How do you help them save money? How do they reduce costs? How do they become more productive? So you need to make it very clear, because all of our judges really come from the real world. You know, a lot of these people got their hands dirty from an IT perspective, so they do really understand the space, so therefore they understand the problems that they're talking on a day-to-day basis to people in the enterprise market who have them. So it's got to be relevant, and it's got to be applied in that way.
That's cool. So how do they get involved if they're not already? What do they have to do?
Well, they just download an application form from the website,
which is go. It's probably pretty obvious what it is, but
www.techtrailblazers.com.
Okie dokes.
And on Twitter, you can find out more as well.
So we have a bunch. Sorry. So it's techtrailblazer at techtrailblazer on Twitter.
So Twitter is techtrailblaze minus the R and the S at the end.
Got you.
And if they want to email us, just email innovate@techtrailblazers.com.
Brilliant. I'm sure we can push that out to some of them. And is there any way for sort of the end user and channel listeners that we have to get involved? Can they go and visit the website? Is there information there? Is there any interest there for those guys to come and look at it?
Yeah, definitely. We welcome the end user's input. I mean, first of all, if you're aware of startups that you feel deserve the recognition, do encourage them to be participating in the awards, because obviously, as they say, you've got to be in it to win it. And at the shortlisting stage, when it goes out to the public vote, it's really important that the shortlisted companies harness their community, their supporters. So obviously we'd hope that would include a lot of enterprise technologists who are actually out there trying the products, using the products on a day-to-day basis. So yes, absolutely.
Okay, good. John, any last thoughts about what makes a great entry, or, you know, if you could give in a succinct point, what is it you're looking for with anybody in Tech Trailblazers? And I know it's hard for you to do succinct, but let's go.
Actually, it's very simple this year. The two things I'm looking at, I think we're at an inflection point with the growth of data where we're going to have to start considering enterprise storage again instead of siloed storage. So I'm looking for enterprise storage plays, and I'm looking for a data management story, the ability to manage data more efficiently across the capacity that we own.
Cool. That's good. And I definitely see the industry going that way. It's obviously things have changed in terms of the hardware back end, but certainly from a software point of view, there's a lot of scope for growth and change there. Thank you both. It's been really good fun. It's always great to talk to you both. So I'm going to wrap things up from a Storage Unpacked perspective. As ever, anybody, please, you know, do come and follow us if you're not already on @StorageUnpacked. Go to the website at storageunpacked.com. There's a running joke we have that no one can ever remember the LinkedIn page. So I'm going to keep that going and not give you any direct link to that. But please do keep listening and give us feedback. If there's anything in particular you want to hear from, or you want to know more about Tech Trailblazers, hit us up on Twitter and we'll follow up with you. But in the meantime, thanks for listening.